Good morning, friends, and welcome to Crossroads, where faith and culture meet. I'm John Sloop, along with my wonderful co-hosts, Rita Dunaway and Dean Welty.
Amen to that.
You know, guys, one of the many things that that we share in common is that we are all involved with, in addition to Crossroads, a local nonprofit organization called the Valley Family Forum. In fact, Crossroads is a ministry of the Forum. And so we felt that today's program should focus in an exploration of the vital ministries of the Forum. And we want to invite you, our listeners, to join us in making a difference through the Forum in family, faith, and freedom. Now, as you probably know, Dean Welty and his lovely wife, Janet, founded the Forum back in 2002. And so, Dean, some of us have heard this story, but share with us again how God put it in your heart to start the Valley Family Forum.
Well, John, I already mentioned this back in January, and I'm sure all of our listeners remember that.
Absolutely.
But for any new listeners, I'll just be brief about it. I began, well, I won't say when, back as a public school teacher in Indiana, and then joined the Foreign Service in 1972, served with my wife, Janet, who you referred to most generously, at various American embassies overseas and at the State Department headquarters in Washington for 26 years. But it was after our last tour overseas, we came back home and moved to the Valley in 1998. It was then that we began to realize that America had changed while we were gone. And we call this, well, it was during the Clinton-Lewinsky scandal, for one thing. Yep. And we realized of the change, and we had that gradual Rip Van Winkle experience, that epiphany. We didn't recognize our own country anymore. It seemed that morality and virtue didn't matter anymore. And then we had our second epiphany when little Samuel, our first grandson, was born, and it struck us with full force. What kind of world are we leaving to our children and to our grandchildren? We had to do something, but we felt all alone. Were we the only ones who felt this way? Apparently not. Because as you mentioned, in 2002, a small group of us committed to do all we can to get this great country back on track. And that's when we created the Valley Family Forum. But our mission, you asked about the mission. Our mission is very simple: to inform and to mobilize the Valley around some core values and basic principles, and we'll be talking about a little later in the program. But the rest is history. The network has grown and expanded to what it is today with some very interesting adventures along the way, which also we'll be talking about later.
Indeed.
Amen. Well, now, Rita, you've been active in the Forum, I think, from almost day one.
Almost.
And so share with us how you got involved and how Dean was able to twist your arm.
I have heard Dean referred to as an arm twister before, haven't you, Doc?
Yes.
Don't get in within range of my voice because I have a plan for the rest of your life.
Indeed. Well, I met Dean and Janet through church. We are all members of Covenant Presbyterian here in Harrisonburg. One of our pastors apparently had mentioned to Dean that I was an attorney working for the Rutherford Institute at that time, and that I handled mostly religious liberty cases. So when our paths crossed in
we call those providential intersections.
Yes.
That's right.
I like that name for those moments. Dean introduced himself to me, and he had an ulterior motive. It wasn't just about getting to know me, but he did indeed have a plan for my life. He told me about the Forum, and now I'll say the rest is history. I of course, got involved right away, and there have been many, many times when Dean has sort of pushed me out there when I needed to be pushed,
right,
to contribute the skills and abilities that God has blessed me with.
He's an arm twister and a pusher.
Rita,
That's it.
Was my pleasure to do that for you.
Well, Rita, Dean and I are retired, and though we are very, very busy, you know, we get to call our own shots. I happen to know that in addition to your being a wife, a homemaker, a mother of two very energetic children, mm-hmm, school-age kids, you also work part-time as an attorney. So what I want to know is, what is it about the Forum and its vision that is so compelling that you would invest the little bit of free time you have to do this kind of volunteer work?
Yeah, that's a great question.
You've asked yourself that sometimes.
Yes, many times. First of all, the mission and vision are compelling to me. The forum is all about engaging our culture, being salt and light in the world. And the way I like to describe it is carrying the banner of truth into a darkened world that desperately needs to be reminded that there is an objective, absolute truth. But second, I'm willing to volunteer my time and energy because I found that it has always been time and energy well spent. Mm-hmm. That's why I have stayed involved for this long. We are not an organization that holds meetings just to hold meetings. We are not what Dean and I call a chit-chat society. We don't just sit around and complain. We take action. And I'll give you just one example of that for now. My first real project with the forum that I remember had to do with sexually oriented businesses.
SOBs, they're called.
I know, that's what you call them.
You're the only one who calls them that, Dean.
Dean, I don't remember what triggered that whole project. Can you remind me?
I remember it well, and it happened just a year after we founded the Valley Family Forum. This was the spring of 2003. Harrisonburg police broke up an illegal operation at the Adult News bookstore in South Main. Valley was stunned. Mm-hmm. How could this happen in the friendly city? After that, our Commonwealth's attorney, Marcia Garst, did a terrific job of exposing and prosecuting those men who were involved in those activities. But it got worse. We then discovered two other SOBs in town, the Hole in the Wall right on Court Square across from John's Church, and Pamela's Secrets further south of town. We had a job to do.
Yeah. Well, the thing I remember most was being so impressed with Dean's ability to rally the faithful and organize a movement of concerned area residents to push our city council in Harrisonburg to enact common sense zoning regulations for these kinds of businesses. You know, to keep them away from schools, playgrounds, daycares, places where children are likely to be.
And Rita, that's where your legal expertise really came in handy.
Yep. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
We circulated a petition. I remember being at the Rockingham County Fair with Scott, circulating the petition, trying to get as many signatures as we could. And then we showed up at the city council
meeting. Just to back up, we got over 3,500 signatures at that time, just within a couple of weeks. And you and Scott got the first 100 because that was the first night at the fair. You would have thought Scott was on commission the way he raced around getting signatures.
He just knew he had to fill up those sheets before he could go home. Well, we showed up at the city council meetings, multiple meetings as I recall, and firmly but very professionally presented our case. Mm-hmm. And in the end, we succeeded in having the zoning regulations passed.
Hey, Rita, let me add to that also. As soon as Harrisonburg passed those regulations, seven other surrounding municipalities and counties passed similar regulations. Yes. And that is the influence of one.
Yeah, yep. It's important for the communities to be proactive in doing that.
Yes.
And we were able to help make that happen.
But Harrisonburg set the lead, and other people said, we need to do that too.
Yeah. Well, that is just one of many examples of projects that the forum has taken on, projects that involve real work to accomplish a real mission, not just sitting around talking or complaining. So, Doc, I want to ask you now, how did you meet Dean, and what was your first involvement with the forum?
Well, I've given some thought to this, and I'm not sure when I first met Dean.
I showed up at your Bible study.
I'm sure that it should have been an epiphany, a moment that I would never forget.
But I didn't.
I don't really remember the day, but I do remember that back in 2000, Dean began attending my Thursday morning men's Bible study on Court Square, along with other men from across the city and the county. I loved that Thursday morning. I missed that perhaps more than anything else about retirement, as being with my men on Thursday mornings. I called it the most ecumenical hour in the valley. with we had about 200 men on roll, with an average of 100 men showing up every Thursday. We represented 13 different denominations,
wow,
everything from Pentecostals to Roman Catholics. And Dean would sit at the front table right under my nose, and he would open up that well-worn King James Version of the Bible just to make sure I was proclaiming the truth. And he would always engage me with challenging questions. So that's when the relationship began. Sometime after that, Dean and Janet joined Gwen and me and several other couples for a tour of the travels of the Apostle Paul, which Dave Eshelman and I led. And if you've never traveled with Dean, you need to experience that. In time, Dean began inviting me to the Forum Core Group meetings and at the old Shoney's Pastors Advisory Team. And before I knew what was happening, I was getting 3 to 4 phone calls from Dean every day, not to mention the flood of email blasts from his overheated computer. If you know Dean, he is an irresistible force.
Yeah.
And the rest is history.
Yes.
John, let me say, you may not remember this, but you were one of the first pastors that I met with to talk about the Forum. In your office, we gave you a book written by Tom Minnery, and you seized on that immediately without pause or hesitation. And that's where it really began.
In fact, I told my secretary never to schedule anything for me after the Bible studies, because I knew that I would be engaged with Dean for 45 minutes to an hour about projects he wanted to undertake.
Sure. Well, Doc, I understand that since your retirement recently from full-time pastor work, you have been given a promotion with the Forum.
I have a promotion. In fact, a couple of months before I retired, in May of 2013, it's hard to believe it's 2 years now, Dean asked me one Thursday morning if I would consider being chaplain for the Valley Family Forum, a new position that Dean created. And I said, well, Dean, what will that entail? And he said, just keep doing what you're doing now, except now you'll have a title. Now, though I don't really have a job description, I see my primary role as one of encouragement to Valley pastors and challenging them to see their prophetic role at the crossroads of faith and culture. I know how difficult it is to be a pastor and to juggle all the responsibilities of shepherding a flock, but there is that challenge of being prophetic in the public square as well.
Well, John, you didn't say anything about your salary. Does Rita know that you're getting twice as much as she is?
Well, but you get three times more than all of us put together.
Yeah,
so
yeah. I understand. Well, just and between you and me. Yeah.
Just so everyone's clear,
right.
That salary is a big grand total of zip, zero.
We put in a lot of hours, a lot of commitment, but that we receive no funding, no expenses or anything. We do this because we love the Lord, we love the Forum, and we love what it stands for.
But our rewards are eternal.
That's right. Our rewards are out of this world.
Okay.
Well, Doc, before we leave you, you asked such a great question of me. I want to turn it around on you now. What is it about the Forum that compels you to spend your retirement volunteering your time and energy?
Well, I'm grateful to Dean and to the Forum for helping me experience what I've described as a paradigm shift. Dean invited me to come to a pastor's luncheon at the old Evers restaurant out on 11 South, I miss Evers, to hear Tom Minnery speak. At the time, Tom Minnery was a vice president with Focus on the Family, and he had just written this book that we've alluded to several times called Why You Can't Stay Silent. Now, as I read that book, I discovered that there was no wall of separation between the church and society. There was no wall between faith and politics. I learned that the revolution fires that gave birth to this country were fanned into flame by the colonial preachers who brought the power of God's prophetic word to speak out against tyranny and injustice. In other words, I don't think we'd be America today were it not for America's pulpit. Now, for decades, I had been preaching prophetically to moral issues within my own denomination, and so I was not afraid of taking a stand. But now I saw that the preacher's call is not just to speak to the people in the pew, but to the leaders in the public square, from the courthouse to the White House as well. So I became convinced that the church has been asleep at the wheel, and it was time to wake up before it was too late.
Well, I'm so glad you did get involved in a
thank you, Rita.
In a more permanent way with your new title.
Well, John, and I have to say that every Thursday morning at our men's Bible study, you always ended the study, "So what?" Mm-hmm. How do you take the Sunday message into your Monday morning pulpit?
That's right.
And that's why I have said, and I'm sure I'm going to get criticized for saying it again, doctrine is important. Grace is important. But I am doctrined out. I am graced out. It is time to get this show on the road.
The show has to be based on doctrine.
I was going to say, don't lose your doctrine. Don't lose your grace. But let's make the application.
Here are a couple of two heavy-duty words for you today. It's orthodoxy leads to orthopraxy.
Moving right along.
Leads to behavior.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. Well, while we're talking about Tom Minnery, the things that really struck me about this book, and I did a lot of research trying to find a book that got it right about putting our faith into practice. What he writes is the transformed heart leads to the sanctified life. There's the two other big words.
Right.
But it's just what you said. What was it again? Orthodoxy.
Orthodoxy to orthopraxy.
There you go. But the heart of his book is being salt and light to our culture and in the public square. It's evident by its title. Throughout Scripture, God calls on his people to be bold in standing up and speaking out for the good and confronting and fighting against the evil. That's the thrust of his book. One line in his book comes out repeatedly, and I alluded to it earlier, which is courage is contagious. When one person takes a stand, when Harrisonburg takes a stand, other people say, that's what I believe. I want to do that too. When we speak out, as Minnery says, it not only strengthens us in our faith, but it also emboldens others to do the same. He came up, you remember, John, I'm sure, the examples that he has.
Yes.
There were mothers in Indiana who went against the pornographic magazines. There was a Vermont orchard farmer who went against Vermont's drive to normalize same-sex behavior in marriage.
And this is back in the 90s, I think, the
late
90s.
Right.
Yeah.
There was a former union boss in Ohio who helped drive the SOBs out of Cincinnati. Now, there are two other examples. The first one Rita knows well, of course, and that's William Wilberforce. Back in the late 1700s, early 1800s, a member of the British Parliament, as Minnery tells the story, he had a passion to bring an end to abortion and the reformation of manners in the culture. Wilberforce was is a tremendous example, and that's why we have a Wilberforce award at our dinners. The second example that he describes is William Booth in founding the Salvation Army. Both of them were driven by their commitment to be salt and light to the world as Jesus commanded.
Dean, did you mention the name of that Tom Minnery book?
It is indeed, Why You Can't Stay Silent. Isn't that descriptive?
Yes.
And the subtitle,
yes.
A Biblical Mandate to Shape Our Culture.
Yeah,
get out of the pews and into the public square.
And I really think that title, Why You Can't Stay Silent, sort of sums up the reason that the forum exists, to train, inform, and mobilize people into action in our culture.
Indeed, Rita. In the front of the book, I have 18 scriptural references that specifically say, you should not be silent, speak out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
And I know, Dean, that one of the things you have spent a lot of your time doing with the forum is education, and that Minnery book is one of your texts. Why don't you describe the various courses you have been teaching for the past several years?
Well, our first course, Rita, came out of a concern that we were alone, as I mentioned before. There must be others who feel like us. John, your church was one of the first churches to open up the church to a course that we call Capstone, which is Jesus is the cornerstone. Capstone is a training course for how Christians need to be engaged in the culture and in the public square. It runs for 10 weeks. We've held 25 of those courses over this period of time. What it has done is train up a cadre,
yes,
a corps, a militia, a regiment, an army of people who take this to heart and are active in the culture. And I love to see the people engaged in various ways today.
Yep.
After one of those sessions, the group said, "We don't want to stop. We want to keep on going. What can we do next?" And they helped develop our second course, which is America's Godly Heritage. We discovered that we don't know America's history and the biblical and Judeo-Christian foundations of our history. So that, again, we've had that for about 12 or 15 times. And that, too, runs for 10 weeks. And again, training people to treasure America as an exceptional country.
Dean, I mentioned how seminal Why You Can't Stay Silent has been for me. The second book, equally as helpful to me, was one introduced in that second course, and it's called One Nation Under God, 10 Things Every Christian Should Know About the Founding of America. That's by Dr. David Gibbs, president of the Christian Law Association, along with Jerry Newcomb. I'm sure I had been exposed to this history in the past, but never before did I grasp, until reading this book, how critical the role of faith was in founding this nation. And so I commend this book, One Nation Under God, by David Gibbs.
You can still get that on Amazon. It's out of print, as in Minnery's book, but you can get both of them on Amazon.
Yeah, you know, in the capstone course, I really appreciate that, and I think this comes from the Minnery text. It doesn't only compel Christians to be involved and to speak up, but it also gives a lot of practical help and training for how to do it well, how to do it effectively, so that we don't come across as hysterical or anything like that, but that we come across in a persuasive, effective way. And one of the particularly valuable features of the capstone course, as far as I'm concerned, has been the fact that folks who take that course during the first part of the year get to stay particularly in tune with legislation being considered at the General Assembly in Richmond at that very time. So it's in real time. It's sort of a hands-on training, and I think people really benefit from that. And that brings up one of my favorite forum functions, and that is simply keeping Valley residents informed about legislation that involves one of the forum's key focus areas.
That brings up a really good point. You know, the forum does so much, but we can't do everything. And every once in a while, someone will come up to me and say, "Well, John, why isn't the forum involved in this or in that?" And of course, the answer is because we do have we have a goal and we have a vision and we have some clear focus areas. Dean, how about walking us through those?
Well, first of all, when you say people want us to do many different things, the Bible again teaches the concept of different gifts.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We all have different gifts and talents and experiences, and so we have to learn to respect each other for those gifts. And so many people will do different things like evangelism or taking care of the sick and the poor, teaching medicine, music and the arts, or writing. Our call is to get engaged in the culture and in the public square, as this radio program is all about. And therefore, just to answer your question, we center our efforts on five core values: the sanctity of life, the sanctity of marriage and the family, religious liberty, standards of decency, which goes back to the SOBs, and education for our children.
Well, I think the next natural question that would be in some people's minds is how did you choose those particular areas to focus on?
Well, Rita, it didn't come easily, it didn't come quickly. But I think that these five areas are the foundation of our country. There are other important aspects: defense, many other things. But these are the five core moral values on which America stands. And when I say it didn't come easily, let me just give you a little background. I used to be pro-choice. because I thought every woman should have a right to do what she wants with her own body.
That was a long time ago.
Let me continue.
That
I'm
is
not
a
finished.
Revelation
is it
to
really?
Me. I had no
In
idea.
In the State Department, I justified China's coerced abortion policy. Now, I'm not finished with my confessions. I used to justify divorce in almost any circumstances because God wants us to be happy. And if she doesn't make me happy, I'm going somewhere else. That's a second confession. I was intolerant of religious bigots. And by that, I mean I was intolerant of everybody who didn't agree with me. But I called that tolerance. Finally, I enjoyed looking at provocative pictures and reading off-color literature. I thought, like many do today, it's not hurting anybody, so no harm, no foul. And, well, I said finally one more. Parents, I thought, who taught their children at home or in a Christian school were denying their children a well-rounded social experience. Mm-hmm. So I erred in those five areas. I had to turn 180 degrees. It was partly out of simple ignorance, but it was also because of spiritual darkness. I wouldn't have admitted it, but I had turned away from God.
Now, again, Dean, how many years ago was that?
It's a process of time. It's probably up until I met you, and then I had this transformation. But let me just say,
I don't want these people to think that, you know, 5 years ago you were this way. I mean, this happened decades ago.
No, it didn't.
No, really?
No, and I'll tell you why. I had a praying wife, and I had wonderful biblical teaching from pastors like you. Wow. As a consequence, I say I turned 180 degrees. Life is now such an important concept to me. We cannot destroy 56 million babies since the Roe v. Wade decision in 73 because a nation that destroys its own children is destroying its own soul and its own future, and we must end abortion in America. Number two, we have to defend and promote marriage as the bedrock for family and for society. That's why, for me, divorce is no longer an option, except in the most extreme circumstances, and definitely same-sex marriage is not an option ever. That's number two of my turnaround. Number three, instead of indulging in pornography, I vomit every time I see it. It is a cancer on our culture. It leads to the ruination of men, exploited women, damaged children, disease, crime, and often violent death. We have to defend our religious freedom because that is the foundation for our culture and for our principles. So it's all about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that's why we're fighting for school choice. Every parent ought to have the right to educate their own children. That's
Dean,
more than you wanted to hear.
I am just so grateful the Lord got a hold of you.
Yes.
Thank you for sharing that your
that's
story.
A testimony.
It is a testimony. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Why don't you share with the audience, now that you're on a roll, a couple of forum highlights.
Okay.
Tell us about one or two of the forum's accomplishments that have been...
You have got to be kidding. One or two. Let me just let me go through
narrow
a couple.
Narrow it down.
Number
We've one,
got about 4 minutes left.
I understand. Number one, we already talked about the SOBs. I won't go after that anymore. Secondly, with Rita's help, we talked about we fought for Luis Padilla when he was fired for having a sign on the back of his truck in support of marriage. Number three, in 2006, we helped pass the marriage amendment that defines marriage in Virginia as only between one man and one woman. Number four was the pleasure of working with Rita to fight for a landmark pro-life bill in the VA General Assembly. Number five was winning approval for a new Virginia license plate, In God We Trust, that is shot up to seventh among over 200 license plate options in Virginia. It has over 40,000 plates on Virginia cars. And finally, I have to say this because I know you're glaring at me, which is this Crossroads program.
Amen.
A great achievement for the Valley Family Forum.
You better not leave that one off or you're going to be in trouble.
That's right.
A couple of other things the forum does really on an annual basis. One is this program that we hold in the fall. We call it the Unveiling. We invite all of our Valley legislators to really connect with the people and to tell us about their priority pieces of legislation that they're going to be working on during the General Assembly session at the beginning of the year. And then our annual banquet, we inspire and motivate people with a big name speaker every year.
Wow, we have run out of time. We are grateful for your financial support. Your generosity keeps this program on the air. If you would like to join our team of financial supporters, send your contributions to Crossroads, Box 881, Harrisonburg, Virginia, 22803. Till next time, this is John Sloop, along with Dean Welty and Rita Dunaway, challenging you to be salt and light, making a difference for Christ at the crossroads where faith and culture meet.